in Likud Emoran Chelik Aleph. And tonight's Shia is going to be a little bit different. It's going to be hopefully in two sections. The first part, we're going to review this chapter, not inside the Sefer, but to summarize and to piece together all the different parts of this Torah. And then afterwards, we're going to go into the Parpois L'Chochma. We're going to do one of the sections in the Parpois L'Chochma, where Rabbi Nizal clarifies very much, where Rav Nachman Shigrin Zal clarifies this chapter in terms of strictly practical advice, how this is to be applied to those people that would want to follow Rabbi Nizal's advice today. Rabbi Nizal began this Torah by saying that when a person is zeichet to understand that even those things that happen to them, which people would normally interpret to be bad, that those things are actually good, and that it's for the person's good, Rabbi Nizal says, then that person has reached Olam Haba. And here Rabbi Nizal gives us an understanding, a description of one aspect of Olam Haba, that Olam Haba is going to be a place where there's no concept of good and bad. There's only good. We say in Benching, may Hashem bless us with that day which will be completely good, all good. That's the description of Olam Haba. Now the question is, does that imply that there's going to be a change on the part of Hashem? That now Hashem is one way and then He's going to be a different way? There's a pasuk that says, Ani Hashem lo yishanisi. I, Hashem, have not changed, and we certainly, part of our emunah and part of Hashem, the change is going to be on the part of us. That part of the extra wisdom that the Torah says that the Jewish people are going to be zeichet to receive when Mashiach comes, is that we're going to be zeichet to understand Hashem better. And we're going to be zeichet to understand that things which we might have thought at one time were bad, were actually really very good. Rabbi Nizal says that the only way a person could be zeichet to that is if a person is zeichet to be male, the malchus dikdusha, from among the goyim, from among the klipos. And he goes into a discussion about that. How does that relate to this? We know that when Hashem punishes a person, the punishment comes from the malchus. The Gemara makes a statement, dina de malchusa dina, that din, judgment, on the part of Hashem, comes from Malchus. Now, our understanding of this punishment, our accepting it as punishment and as something bad, that comes from the fact that the Malchus of Hashem today is, in a sense, nifgam. It's pogum. It's not in its rightful place. And as a result of the Malchus not being in its rightful place, it's easy for us to misinterpret things that are related to the Malchus, to misjudge it. Whereas, if a person will be Zeicha, so therefore today we have, in a sense, a pirud, a separation between the Malchus of Hashem and Hashem Himself, Kaviyochel. Now there's Hashem, there is a Hashem, there is a Creator, we know that. As far as people believing in that Hashem is king and acknowledging Hashem's authority in the world, that is very few people that do. Certainly not the other nations, and even among the Jews, there are very few people that are zeichet to really accept Hashem's authority over them, Hashem's malchus. So as a result of that, because they're not accepting Hashem as king really, what ends up happening is that when Hashem's kingdom shows itself to them, they don't know how to interpret it correctly. When punishments come to them, which come from this malchus, this midas hadin, they don't know how to interpret it correctly, and they end up thinking that it's bad, that it's a bad thing, when in actuality, Rabbi Nizal brought a pasuk, Es asher ye'ahav Hashem yechiyach, that if Hashem loves somebody, He reprimands them. That the reprimand from Hashem, the punishment from Hashem, is an act of love. It's not an act of hate, it's an act of love towards Bnei Yisrael. So therefore, Rabbi Nizal says, a Jew who wants to be able to interpret this malchus right, the right way, and a Jew who wants to be zeicha to be able to understand that everything that's happening to them is for their good, the key is fixing up the malchus. How do you do that? Rabbi Nazal explains that that's done through vidui dvorim in front of a Talmud Chacham. If a person is zeichet to confess their sins in front of a Talmud Chacham, this is what fixes up the malchus. How? And Rabbi Nazal starts explaining each piece of this. The avera, the sin, the person that commits the sin, the Talmud Chacham before whom he's confessing it. Let's understand each piece of the puzzle. We know the Gemara says, Ein yisurim b'lo yovain, that pain comes as a result of sins. The Gemara says that yisurim comes as a result of sins. So right away we understand that in terms of a person being punished or a person having a midas hadin on them, that's an indication that there are sins in the picture. There's averis in the picture. Now these averis, what if there's averis, therefore there's suffering. And the suffering is being misinterpreted, chas v'shalom. Now the question is, these averis, what are they doing? What are they causing? Rabbi Nazal says these averis are causing a problem in a person's bones. That the averis that a person does become inscribed in the person's bones. In what manner? We know that everything that was created in this world was created through the letters of the Torah. The Torah served as the blueprint for this world. The Asora Ma'amorais, the Gemara says that Hashem created the world with 10 statements. Vayomer Elokim Yehi Oyer, Vayomer Elokim Tachi Oretz Deshe. The creation was through Dibur. Creation is through speech, and destruction is also through speech. So that when a person does a mitzvah, what he does is he causes the letters or the words of the Torah of that mitzvah that he does to be arranged in such a way that it brings forth bracha for this person. It brings a blessing on this person, it brings good health, it brings all kinds of good things. When a person does an avera, rachmona litzlan, that causes the letters in the Torah which this person transgressed, which this person went against, those letters become rearranged. The letters of the words loy signoy, you shouldn't steal, those letters become reformatted in the form of a curse, chas v'shalom, or in the form of a punishment against the person. We gave two examples that the Meforshim here quote from Reb Chaim Vitalzal, who was once suffering from a severe pain in his shoulder, and the Arizal told him that this is because you weren't strict enough in a certain law in Shulchan Aruch. The law says, takeif l'netila bracha, that immediately after washing, you're supposed to make the bracha. This is both before the meal, when you're making a maitzi, a person's supposed to try to avoid any major hefsek in between the bracha and the eating, and also when it comes to mayim achronim. Once a person washes after the meal, they're supposed to try to go into benching right away with any big hefsek. Because of the fact that you weren't careful enough in that halacha, this word takef, which means immediate, can be rearranged to form the letters of the word kosef, the shoulder. And this affected you in a pain in your shoulder. And we also mentioned the example of Shaul HaMelech, related to him and his son. The fact that they were both killed on the same day in a battle with the Pelishtim. And this was as a result of two major crimes that are attributed to Shaul HaMelech. One is the fact that he killed Noiv Irak Kohanim, because he thought they were harboring Dovr HaMelech, and also because of the fact that he used a woman to perform magic to bring Shmuel HaNovi up from the dead. That woman was called a Balas Oiv. The Hebrew word in the Chumash for that is Oiv, Aleph Beis, and the city of Noiv, Nun Vov Beis. The Arizal said that this resulted in Av and Benoi being killed, a father and son combination, Shaul and his son Yonason being killed to rectify these two pigomim of Noiv and Oiv. So we see here clearly that these words, which represent again the kingdom of Hashem, the malchus of Hashem, because we said that the Hebrew word for words, which is Devorim, is also the same word as a word that means authority, kingdom. Dabor echod lador, the Gemara says. One authority in a generation, one leader in a generation. So we see that these two are one and the same. And therefore, when a person does averos and they cause these letters to become defective, they cause these letters to become rearranged in a painful way, in a way that brings suffering on the person, this actually represents a defect in the Malchus of Hashem. The Malchus of Hashem goes into Golus. What's the tikkun for it? Rabbi Nazal says the tikkun is through speech. Through speech also, through confession. When a person confesses a sin and he speaks about it to a Talmud Chacham, the words of confession are actually those letters that were engraved in the bones coming out, exiting, and the bones are able to fall back into place correctly, and the person's health is restored. And then those letters are rearranged to form positive things, both for the person and for Hashem. How does the Talmud Chacham have a power to affect this? Rabbi Nazal shows what the Talmud Chacham represents. Number one, the Talmud Chacham Malchus. When we talk about the kingdom of Hashem, the origin of Malchus is fire. Rabbi Nazal brings proof from Nevot, the father of Yerovam. How did he make a mistake? Because he saw fire coming forth from his bris kodesh in a dream, and he thought that that meant that that kingdom was going to come from him. He didn't realize that it was going to be in his son, not in himself. So we see that fire is associated with Malchus, and a Talmud Chacham is also associated with fire. The Pasuk says, Haloi koi dvorai ko'esh num Hashem. Hashem says, the Torah is like fire. And the Gemara says, imagine those people who are foolish enough to stand up for a Sefer Torah, and they don't stand up for a Talmud Chacham. So we see that the Torah is fire, a Talmud Chacham is certainly fire. So he has this power of fire that represents Malchus. Also, Rabbi Nazal says, a Talmud Chacham possesses anova, modesty. And it's this power of modesty and humbleness that gives him the zuchus of being able to forgive sins. Rabbi Nazal quotes the pasuk, Chamas melech malachim oves, v'ish chacham yichapreno, that the anger of Hashem shows itself in malachim oves, in death or in suffering, this ein yisurim b'lo yovoin, and the tikkun for it is, ish chacham yichapreno. A Talmud Chacham has the power to calm this anger of Hashem, to forgive for the anger of Hashem. Chamas Melech, note, the anger of the king. Hashem is angry over his kingdom that has been disgraced. And the tikkun for it comes through the Ish Chacham. Why? Because there's a pasuk that says, V'oiver al pesha l'she'eris nachlosoi. Hashem forgives the sins of the remainder of his inheritance, referring to Bnei Yisrael over there. That's the basic pshat. The Gemara darshins on that pasuk, v'oivar al pesha l'she'eris, Hashem forgives the sins of she'eris, l'mi shemesim atzmoi kishirayim. A person who considers himself like remains, like leftovers, a person who's very humble, that's for whom Hashem forgives sins. So Rabbi Nazal says, a Talmud Chacham, we know that a Talmud Chacham, in order to be a Talmud Chacham, must possess anivus, because the Torah says clearly, v'hachochma me'ayin timotze, that chochma comes from nothing. It's only a person who's zeichet to feel like nothing that Hashem gives them the gift of the chochma of the Torah, the true wisdom of the Torah. So one who is zeichet to be a chacham on this level because of his anivus, this anivus gives him the power to forgive sins. Now, when a Jew comes to such a Talmud Chacham and humbles himself before that Talmud Chacham, who is himself the epitome of anova, of humbleness, what could be a more humbling experience than to open yourself up, to show yourself to the Talmud Chacham, to let him know all of your deficiencies, all a person's averos and pegomim? That's a very humbling experience. That humbleness being performed in front of a pillar of humbleness, a Talmud Chacham, this causes the person's sins to be eliminated completely. The sins are eliminated. What was engraved in the bones leaves the bones. The Malchus Tikdusha, these words that represent the Malchus, goes up to its rightful place, and the Malchus is restored to Hashem. And now the power of Malchus, which represents Din, and Hashem, who normally represents Chesed, these two are united. They become one, and the person begins to understand them and see them as one. He doesn't see them as two separate things, the kindness of Hashem and the judgment of Hashem. Because this person has succeeded in removing from himself completely any negative judgment, all he sees now is the oneness of Hashem. Even the kingdom of Hashem, because it's metukan, because it's fixed, it's no longer giving forth dinim, judgment, pain, suffering against the person, but rather the kingdom of Hashem now is manifesting itself in the person's abiding by the mitzvahs of Hashem, and the person's accepting Hashem's authority over themselves. Then Rabbeinu Zal went on to discuss that when we talk about a person coming to a Talmud Chacham or coming to a Tzaddik, there are three major steps in doing so, in a person being zeichet to become attached to the Tzaddik. And Rabbeinu Zal discussed, he showed how through these three steps a person can eliminate all the major problems in religion and in life that a Jew could have. The major problems being divided into four categories, one being depression, and everything related to it, the second being taivos rois, evil desires, a person having a desire for what they're not supposed to desire, too much food, too much women, anything, too much sleep, anything in life that's considered improper. The third item was dvorim betelim, a person using their power of speech, misusing their power of speech, actually, speaking things that have no purpose, no positive purpose. And the fourth thing was gaiva, arrogance, and everything related to it. Rabbeinu Zal showed how those four categories represent just about all aspects of bad within a person. And Rabbeinu Zal showed how through three aspects of becoming attached to a tzaddik, a person is zeichet to eliminate these four categories. The three aspects were, number one, attaching oneself to the tzaddik, specifically by coming to see him, using your eyes to see the tzaddik. And Rabbeinu Zal compared this to a small child. You get a baby that's depressed, that's sad, the mother walks into the room, and the mother's away, and suddenly the mother walks into the room. Right away the baby jumps up and runs to the mother gleefully, happy to see the mother. This is a normal reaction. Those babies that don't jump up like that, either the baby's not that normal, or the mother's not that normal, or there's something missing, or the baby wasn't that sad before. But in other words, Rabbeinu Zal is referring to something that we know as being within the teva of a human being. Also, still further, when we find that a baby is involved in playing with toys, and the baby is very engrossed in these toys, which are a form of foolishness. It's something based on the mentality of the child at that time. And again, the mother comes into the room. Many times the baby will drop, even if the baby is playing with a very enjoyable toy, drop the toy and go running to the mother. And Rabbeinu Zal says we have a similar analogy in terms of Bnei Yisrael being attached to tzaddikim. A tzaddik is called the mother of Bnei Yisrael, because just as a mother nurses her child with milk, the Talmidei Chachamim nurse Bnei Yisrael with the Chalba Shel Torah, the milk of Torah. Cholov is Begimatria 40. The Torah was given in 40 days and 40 nights in Har Sinai. That's why we eat milichix, dairy, on Shavuos. There are many analogies given to this. So too, this concept of a mother and a child is the relationship of the Tzadikim to Bnei Yisrael. That a Jew who's involved in narishkeiten, taivus rois, toys, whatever toys he's involved with on his level, or he's depressed or sad due to whatever his circumstances are, as soon as he's zeichet to find somebody who is a true tzaddik and to attach himself to that true tzaddik, the person finds automatically these things are stripped away. There's no depression, there's tremendous joy at being privileged to be attached to such a tzaddik and knowing such a person and the light that a person feels they're benefiting from that person. And also when the satan tries to present his whole bag of tricks in terms of all the taivos rois and midos rois that the satan tries to get a person involved in, when a person tastes what it means to be attached to a tzaddik, compared to that, all of these other things seem silly. They're not really tempting anymore as they were before the person knew what it was like to be attached to a true tzaddik. And then Rabbeinu Zal went on to explain also the other aspects the giving of tzedakah to the tzaddik, how that's mesakin the union of dvorim betelim and gaiva, those two items. Because Rabbeinu Zal proved from the Gemara that those two items, dvorim betelim and gaiva, lead to poverty. The Gemara makes clear statements, simen legasis ruach anius. How do you know a person who's arrogant? The poverty is an indication usually. Those people that are poor, we find that there's an arrogance in them, rachmona litzlan. And also regarding dvorim betelim, Rabbeinu Zal showed how those people who spoke lashon hara against Moshe Rabbeinu, doson vaviram, the result was kimesu hanoshim. The Torah says they died. The Gemara says this means that they lost their wealth. They became poor. So we see that a pegam in dibur or a pegam in gaiva results in poverty. And Rabbeinu Zal showed how tzedakah is the opposite of poverty. A Jew who's zeicher to give tzedakah, that takes the person away from poverty. That's the wealth of a person comes from there. Rabbeinu Zal quoted the Gemara in Gittin, which says that if a person's sheep generally represent the wealth of a person, ashterois tzoynecho, the ashirus, and the Gemara gives a moshel that if a person wants to get sheep across a river, the way you have to do it is first you have to shear off the wool. By removing the wool, the sheep are able to cross safely. If you leave the wool on them, the wool soaks up the water and they end up drowning because they become so heavy, laden with water. The Gemara says the same mashal, if a person wants their nechosim to be successful, if a person wants to retain their wealth, the key is share it off. Give off the portion of Meiser. Take off the part that belongs to Hashem. Give your tzedakah properly and you'll see that you'll be able to maintain and retain your wealth. Then Rabbeinu Zal went on to say that the final most important aspect of this is that even after a person has come to a tzaddik and attached himself to him and given him tzedakah, still the tzaddik is in a position to help the person up to a degree. As far as the tzaddik being able to give the person real clear direction in life, exactly what this person should be doing to come close to Hashem, exactly what this person's purpose on this earth is, where does he fit into Hashem's army, to Hashem's universe, that the tzaddik can only do for a person once the person has had vidui dvorim before the tzaddik. Once the person opens themselves up and informs the tzaddik exactly as to where they're holding in religion and what their problems are and what their shortcomings are, then the tzaddik is in a position to really establish a path for that person to go on, to be zeicha, to know what to do. What does Hashem expect of me on this world? I know it certainly isn't what Hashem expects from him, otherwise he wouldn't have created me. If Hashem wanted me to do exactly what he wants somebody else to do, Hashem never duplicates anything. This the Arizal says very clearly, that even though there is a concept of Gilgal even, the same neshama coming back to this world repeatedly, it never comes back exactly the same as it was before. There's always a change, there's always something different, because Hashem never duplicates. So here also, in terms of what Hashem wants to see out of each Jew, each person has to believe 100% that there is a certain unique nachas that Hashem wants to see from me. What is that? How do I find out what that is? That's one of the purposes of coming to a tzaddik and attaching oneself to the extent where they're able to be mesvada. These are the major topics that Rabbeinu Zal covered in this Torah. And he went into much more detail showing the anivus of a Talmud Chacham in what areas. He gave the example of Moshe Rabbeinu and many other items that were included within the whole sphere of what was discussed in this Torah. Now, during Rabbeinu Zal's lifetime, we said, there was a period of time where his Talmidim actually came to him and attached themselves to him in these three ways. Number one, coming to him and seeing him with this kavon in mind. Number two, giving him tzedakah, supporting him, sustaining him. And number three, vidui dvorim. Rabbeinu Zal, for a certain limited time, allowed a few selected Talmidim to come to him. And some of them he insisted that they come and tell him everything that happened from the time they were born till that day. Now the question is, how do you remember? The answer is, when they came to Rabbeinu Zal was able to shine into them a zikoron, a memory, where they were given the power to remember everything that had happened that was significant from the time that they were born, whatever they had to be mitzvata, they were able to remember. And in that way, they were able to receive a clear, specific, custom-tailored tikkun from Rabbeinu Zal for their neshama. Now the question is, once Rabbeinu Zal passed away, the question is, how did he expect his followers to accomplish that which is written in this Torah? For this, we're going to turn to the Parporos L'Chochma. In our Likutei Moran, it's page Hey in the back of the section called Parporos L'Chochma. Actually, it's page Vov. I'm sorry. Page Hey, the right-hand column, the bottom paragraph in the column. And here we're going to see one of Rabbeinu Zal's closest followers, Reb Nachman Shigerin Zal, who was one of the greatest students of Rabbeinu Zal's teachings, of these Sforim, one who understood them very, very well, and was in a position to say exactly how this Torah, how all the advice in this chapter is to be followed today. It's page Hey in the Parporos L'Chochma, the section in the back called Parporos L'Chochma, the right-hand column, the bottom paragraph of the column. Rav Nachman Shigerin Zal says, Hine yadua mipi talmidov hakdoshim, it's known through Rabbeinu Zal's students, shekol hamamorim shegila beinyan mailas hatikunim hanayroim vanefloim shenasim aydei skar v'selat tzadik, that all the different wondrous tikunim that are affected by attaching oneself to a tzaddik, v'chol haprotim sheyesh bozeh, and all the details that are involved in this, kol dvorov zechrono levrocha bozeh, chayim v'kayomim lo'ad. All of Rabbeinu Zal's words related to this are alive and standing forever. Meaning, it's not that once Rabbeinu Zal passed away that this discussion about a tzaddik is over. Those words, everything that he had to say about people attaching themselves to tzaddikim, those words continued even after he passed away. V'gam achshov achar histalkusoi Zal, and even now, after Rabbeinu Zal's histalkus, nase kol zeh al yidei shemiskarvin el elyonoi hakodesh Zal. All the tikkunim that Rabbeinu Zal discusses are all accomplished by those people who are zeichet to attach themselves to his ideology. V'nechlolin b'toich hakibutz hakodesh hanikroim al shmoi hakodesh Zal. And these people who are zeichet to become included within the group of people that are associated with him, that assume his name upon themselves. Meaning those people that consider themselves to be his followers. Breslov Hasidim. Umizdapkin atzmon belimud sforov hakdoshim, and they attach themselves to learning his sforim. Umekablin etzois of hakdoshim, and through learning his sforim, they receive Rabbeinu Zal's advice. Uboim al tzioinoi hakodosh, umispalim shom al atshuva v'hayura v'havoida, and they also go to the tzion of Rabbeinu Zal, to Rabbeinu Zal's grave in Uman, in Russia, and there they daven tashem to be zeche, to tshuva, to have true fear of Hashem, and to be zeche, to serve Hashem properly. Bifrat kishe zechen lehikolel b'toich hakibutz hakodosh, especially when they're zeche to come together with Rabbeinu Zal's followers, be'ez shemisas me'elov zechon avrocha al Rosh Hashanah, when they're zeche to come together for Rosh Hashanah, which is the main time of the year that Rabbeinu Zal stressed for his followers to gather together, ki yodua as is known, u'mevura kol zeh b'mokom achra, and as is explained in another place, al kein tzrichen levayar k'tzas, therefore, we need to explain a little bit, eich protei hatikunim shebemaymar zeh, how every single detail of the tikkunim that's explained in this chapter, nimshochim gam achshov acharis talkusoi Zal, how this is continued nowadays after Rabbeinu Zal has passed away. Hatikunim shenasna al yidei histaklus pnei atzadik. Number one, regarding the tikkun that Rabbeinu Zal spoke about in looking at the face of a tzaddik. Rabbeinu Zal quoted the pasuk "V'hoyu einecha royes esmeirecha." The Torah says there's a mitzvah to look at your rabbi. When a person learns Torah, they don't learn with their ears. Person doesn't learn Torah with the ears, they learn with the eyes. The windows to the neshama are the eyes. When a tzaddik communicates Divrei Torah, he does it through the main glow of the Divrei Torah. The light travels from eyes to eyes. The pasuk says about Moshe Rabbeinu, what made him unique over other tzaddikim? Ponim el ponim. The fact that he was zeichet to see Hashem face to face, kaviyochel. In other words, he had the closest contact, kaviyochel, to the eyes of Hashem. The pasuk says, Einei Hashem el tzaddikim, hinei ein Hashem el yireyov. This doesn't mean in a physical sense regarding Hashem. Obviously, it means something different. So the question, therefore, is, now that Rabbeinu Zal passed away, how do his students fulfill this important point of looking into the eyes of their rabbi when their rabbi is no longer physically alive? Rav Nachman Shigurin Zal explains, Ayin Besimen Kuf Tzadik Beis, if you'll take a look in chapter 192, in the first half of Likutei Moran, Rabbeinu Zal there explains, Shebechol Sefer V'Sefer Nimtzo Demus Deyuknoi Vo'er Ponov Shel Zeh Tzadik V'Achochem Shechidesh Elo Adiburim Shebezeh Sefer. Rabbeinu Zal explains there that in the Sefer that a person writes, a Tzadik writes, is found the countenance and the face of the tzaddik. The light of his face is found in his sefer. There's a pasuk, Chochmas Odom To'ir Ponov, that the wisdom of a person is the glow on his face. So if a Talmud Chochem documents his wisdom in a sefer, obviously that sefer is his Oyer HaPonim. If a person is zeichet to learn the Sefer of Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Udanossi, if a person is zeichet to learn Gemara the right way, not like those people who learn it like they're reading some other book, they don't associate it with people. They don't have that feeling like there's Rabbi Akiva sitting right across the table from me, and Rabbi Akiva said that this is what I'm supposed to do. This is not what I'm supposed to do. And because Rabbi Akiva is saying it, and he's a tzaddik, and he's done so many mitzvahs and maisim tovim, and he's so good, because of that, I must listen to what he has to say. Not people learning like it's some foreign body without any actual connection to it. When a person zeichet to learn that way, his learning of the words of the tzaddik is actually like looking into the face of the tzaddik. We find by Hashem, kaviyochel, the Gemara says in Shabbos, that the opening word to the Aseres Hadibrois, Onoichi Hashem Alikecho, I am Hashem, the word Onoichi, I am, the Gemara says, is the Rosh Tevois, Ano Nafshi Ksovis Yehovis. Hashem says, I place my soul into my writing. Kaviyochel, Hashem has placed his own nefesh into his ksav, into the luchos, into the Torah. If a person wants to see Hashem, where do you see Hashem? In the letters of the Torah. That's the light of Hashem. So if a person wants to accomplish this union of looking into the face of a tzaddik, even a tzaddik who's no longer physically alive, you can do it by looking into his sforim and having in mind that I'm looking at the face of the tzaddik. Va'ayin b'simen kufnun gimel. Look also in chapter 153. Mavur Hashem, it's explained over there. Shehatalmid kishezoiche hu mekabel oyer haponim shel horav mamish. Rabbeinu Zal explains there that a student who zeicha to be a real good student of a rabbi, which means he comes to the rabbi without any of his own smarts. When he stands in front of his rabbi, he's nothing. He's nobody. That's the attitude that he has. His rabbi says something, even if he heard it already, he's listening to it with the attitude of a baby that's hearing something for the first time. The same curiosity that children have when you're telling them a story that they never heard before, that's the attitude that a Talmud, a person who wants to be a real good Talmud, who really wants to be successful in religion, that's the kind of attitude they're supposed to have in listening to Divrei Torah. Not a bored attitude. People listen sometimes to a Dvar Torah like it's no, You can tell they're not being affected by it. They're not being shaken up. There's no enthusiasm. There's no curiosity. And there's no making yourself feel a part of it. Rabbi Nazal says here that a true Talmud is one who's mevatel himself to the Rebbe. And therefore, if there's his Rebbe and him, and he is nothing, and he makes himself nothing, if he's nothing, he becomes like a vacuum. A vacuum, the second you open the lid on something that's vacuum-packed, it sucks in anything that's around it. So to a Talmud who makes himself nothing, he sucks in, he absorbs the Rebbe completely. He becomes a reflection of the Rebbe. So Rabbi Nazal says, the true Talmidim of a tzaddik, they become a perfect reflection of their rabbi. So again, even after the rabbi has passed away, it's not all over. If a person zecha to find a true student of the rabbi, looking at him is like looking at the rabbi himself. Va'ayin simen reish lamed. Also look in another chapter. Hatikunim hanasim al yidei over there where it's also discussed. That's the first major item. The second item. Hatikunim hanasim al yidei hatzdoko shenoisnim lahatzadik. The tikunim that Rabbeinu Zal discussed that are accomplished by giving tzdoko to a tzadik. Ze poshut. That's very simple. Shenasa achshav gamkein al yidei hatzdoko shenoisnen levonov ulahamakurov emelav zal. That's accomplished by the tzdoko, the charity that's given to the tzaddik's children, or to those that are attached to him. Ulechol hamitztarech leinyonov hakdoshim, zichron avrocha. Or to all the needs that are associated with that tzaddik, meaning if the tzaddik left behind teachings, sforim, those people that are zeichet to publish those sforim, to give other people in the world a chance to listen to those sforim, to read those sforim, those people are zeichet, that tzedakah, the money that's invested in that is like putting money into the tzaddik's hands. Kigoin lahatfis sforim hakdoshim, for example, printing his sforim, or other items like that. In other words, maintaining the values that the tzaddik respected in the world. Those things that he created, sing to it that they should have an existence. Next, hatikunim shenasin al yidei havidoi lefnei tzaddik. The third item, those tikunim that are accomplished through vidui in front of the tzaddik, nasa achshav gamkein al yidei sheboen al tzionoi hakodosh, those are accomplished by those students of Rabbeinu Zal who are zeicha to go to his grave, to Rabbeinu Zal Sien, umar ben shom betfilois vividuyim, and there at Rabbeinu Zal Sien, they daven a lot, and they confess their sins over there, they say vidui there, and this Rabbeinu Zal hinted to in this chapter of Likutei Moran itself, when he discussed the concept ba'ois tes be'inyan lomo nikra shmoi pa'oir al shem shepoyer piv, when he discussed the avodah zarah of pa'oir, which was one of the worst avodah zarahs, where the Gemara says, why was it called avodah zarah? Because Po'er means to open your mouth wide. The Gemara says that this Avodah Zarah was able to open its mouth wide and speak a lot about the Averis of Bnei Yisrael, to speak against the Jewish people before Hashem. Ki kishepoigmen b'malchus, oz yesh loy koyach lifoir piv b'tzirufim roim. Rabbi Nassal explained that when a Yid is poigem in the Malchus by doing Averis, then he gives power to this Avodah Zarah, Po'er, to speak against Bnei Yisrael. It forms the letters of the Averis that the person did, formed Tzirufim Roim against Bnei Yisrael. Ubishvil zeh nikbar Moshe mul beis po'er, and Rabbeinu Zal said over there, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was buried right opposite po'er. The Tosfos quotes a medrash which says that each and every single year this Avodah Zarah Pa'or rises up and attempts to speak against Bnei Yisrael, attempts to vilify the Yidden, to tell Hashem all the bad things that the Jews have done. And when this Avodah Zarah of Pa'or sees the grave of Moshe Rabbeinu, who is buried right opposite it, it sinks back into its place. Nimtzo, we see from here, Mavur, that it's explained, Shekivroi shel Moshe oise ad hayoim po'ulosa yakodosh lachnia bechinas beis po'er, ulahitzi mimenu atzirufim roim, ulasakin velivno ismidas amalchus bishleimus. We see from here that the grave of Moshe Rabbeinu, even after Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, his grave accomplishes this tikkun. His grave accomplishes the tikkun of silencing this space, this po'er, and taking away these tzirufim roim, all of these bad things that he would want to be malshin against Bnei Yisrael. The grave of Moshe Rabbeinu suppresses it, and is mesakein the midas hamalchus. His grave, not just while Moshe Rabbeinu was alive. Va'ayin shom oid, if you look in this chapter, Rabbein Azal says this was all after Moshe Rabbeinu had passed away. Rabbein Azal over there discussed the histalkus of Moshe Rabbeinu, the fact that when Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, his neshama was nostalgic into Raiva deriven, Ein Soif. That when a tzaddik passes away, where does his neshama go? It goes to the keser, the crown, the holiest place, and there it has complete bitul, and that's why it's able to perform such a fantastic tikkun. And Rabbein Azal said, but this hispashtus agashmius that the tzaddik has when he passes away, he even has a little bit of that while he's alive also. Even while he was alive, the tzaddik tasted this hispashtus agashmius. But while he was alive, this item was stop and go, stop and go. In other words, he only had it for short periods. Umemela move on. Shezeh hatzaddik shu bebchinas Moshe bechinas ayin. Therefore, we see from here that a tzaddik who is in the concept of Moshe Rabbeinu, this concept of nothing, this concept of perfect modesty, ki dovik b'tmidus bo'er ein soif, he's always attached to this infinite light of Hashem, bebechinas rotzi v'shoiv, in a concept of reaching up to it and coming back down, that's what gives the tzaddik the power to be misakin the malchus when people confess before him, because he's plugged in to this ayin so perfectly, he's plugged into this ein soif of Hashem so well. La'achar histalku yeshloi koyach ze la'achar histalku soi b'yeser se'eis v'yeser oz. The tzaddik isn't as powerful after he passes away as during his lifetime. He's more powerful because during his lifetime he was only able to taste that bitul little bits just for a short period of time, and then he had to come back to civilization. He had to come back to living like a human being. He was able to have his pashtus agashmias for short bursts of time while he was davening or while he was learning or while he went to the mikveh, but then he had to come back to reality. Whereas when the tzaddik passes away, then the bitul to the oir ho'en soif is permanent, which means he's plugged into this oir ho'en soif always. So his power to nullify sins is certainly much stronger than it was during his lifetime. And we know that by tzaddikim, even after they pass away, there's still a concept of rotzi v'shoiv, going higher and higher levels in Gan Eden. But it's on a much deeper level. V'gam ki tatzadikim poikdim es kifreim kiyodua. We know that tzadikim visit their graves, meaning that their spirit is found by their grave. Bifrat ze hatzadik, especially this tzadik, asher pokad al ze lovoy al kivroi, who requested that his students should visit his grave. And he guaranteed them, he guaranteed his students that anybody that would come to his grave, he would do everything in his power to help that person, kiyodua, as is known. So certainly this tzaddik has a power after his passing away to help his students, especially in this area of vidui dvorim. Va'ayin shom oid, he continues to show regarding Yehuda, the whole concept, that the proof that we brought from Yehuda, that when Moshe Rabbeinu mentioned his vidui, it was after Yehuda had passed away already. And then Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalel for Yehuda, and we see it helped. So we see again this concept of that it doesn't necessarily, this tikkun doesn't necessarily have to be during the physical lifetime of the tzaddik, or in certain cases, not even during the physical lifetime of the person that's getting the tikkun. Let's skip down a few lines to where there's a two dots in the middle of a line. V'gam ma'ashem avur Hashem, shehatzadik mafrish umevara loy derech hayosho lefi sheresh nishmosoi. And regarding this item that Rabbein Azal said, as far as a tzaddik being able to explain to a person in clear detail what path that person should follow in religion in order for his neshama to get its tikkun, tzrichen lahamin, we must believe, shigam achshov na'ase inyan ze memela, that nowadays this item also happens by itself. What do we mean by itself? Meaning, ki kishebo el klal hakibbutz hakodesh shaloi, when a person is zeichet to come and join the followers of the tzaddik, v'royeh midoisei hamakdoshim, and he sees their good midos, va'avoidosam asher oivdem es Hashem, and he sees how they serve Hashem based on the teachings of the tzaddik, of their Rebbe, the tzaddik, u'mishtoikikim b'chalois nefesh leilech b'drochav akdoshim, and he sees how those people who are attached to the tzaddik, they yearn with their whole neshama, there's a burning desire to be zeichet to come close to Hashem, and to be zeichet to follow the path, the advice that this tzaddik has set forth in his sforim, in his teachings, v'yodeya u'meivin heitev, and the person that's watching this understands very well, shekol ze nimshach rak mikdushas or nishmosei hakodesh, that where does this come from? The fact that his students should have such a desire to want to follow him and to want to follow his teachings and to want to come close to Hashem, that's all a result of the light of the neshama of the tzaddik. They're drawing on his koyach. If we see that they have a burning fire inside of them, a fire for religion, a fire for learning, a fire for davening, it's not their own. They're getting it because they're plugged into their rabbi. And the person understands very well that this is coming from the neshama of the tzaddik, v'oir kedushas Torah soyin, from the light of his Torah, asher shom meir oir ponav hakdoshim, where in his teachings is where the light of his face is to be found, ze bechinas histaklus panei tzaddik. This is all included in this concept of looking at the tzaddik. In other words, when a person comes to a gathering of his followers, when they get together to daven or to learn, and he sees the enthusiasm, those people who are really attached to the tzaddik, he sees their enthusiasm and their kesher, their whole desire for religion, and he knows that that's not their own, that part of that that is coming from the tzaddik, his looking at them, he looks at them and he sees the tzaddik. He understands that their power of kedusha is not their own, it's something that they're drawing from the tzaddik. This is why it's known that Rav Nachman Shigurinzal on Rosh Hashanah, he used to walk around the shul looking into the face of all of those present, because he believed that anybody that came to Rabbeinu Zal for Rosh Hashanah especially, that person was a reflection of Rabbeinu Zal. Looking in that person's face, he felt he could draw part of the light of Rabbeinu Zal. Va'ayin likutei tanino simen mem. Take a look in the second half of Likutei Moran, Torah Mem, V'tovin sheze bechinas melech biyofyoi terzeno einecho. Rabbein Azal there quotes a posuk regarding a king, that when it comes to seeing a king, looking at a king when he first gets up in the morning, before he washed his face, or looking at a king when he's dressed in his royal robes, surrounded by his soldiers and his entourage, is a very big difference. The pasuk says, "Melech biyofyoi terzeno einecho," that your eyes should see the king in his beauty, in his regality. So we see here also, when it comes to the tzaddik, not all times are the same. Looking at the tzaddik at a regular time versus looking at him on a Shabbos or on a Yontif, or when he's surrounded by his students, or when there's a large gathering of his students, it certainly is a big difference in terms of this reflection of his light. She'ikur who bisman asifas hakibutz hakodesh shelo. Rabbeinu Zal explains over there that the main time to be by the tzaddik is when all of his followers are gathered around him. Vayidei kol zeh, through this, mi shezoich lekasher atzmei heitev lozeh, a person who is zoich to attach himself to all of this very well, umargish eze heora vehisnoitetzus hakodesh mizeh besoich liboi, and the person feels an inspiration or a light in his own heart that's coming from this type of gathering, that person is zeicha to correct the things that we learned in this chapter, the problems that are associated with doimem and tzameach, which meant the depression and all the things related to that, and also the taivois rois and all the things related to that. Va'ayin shom b'mayim rabba bar bar chona she'eno maskir shom klal inyan histaklus rak hiskarvus. If you look where Rabbeinu Zal quoted the story of Rabba bar bar chona, there he doesn't mention the issue of looking at the tzaddik. He discusses attaching, becoming close to the tzaddik, hiskarvus to the tzaddik, where he spoke about v'shodyuhu laguda, that the sea spit out this large fish onto the seashore. Rabbeinu Zal said that implies bnei Yisrael, the dogim, becoming niskarev to the tzaddik. Guda is one of the nicknames of the leaders of Klal Yisrael, the tzaddikim. Shehikriv esatzmoy la tzaddik. So in other words, he's pointing out that it's not necessarily, it doesn't have to be looking at the tzaddik, it could also be becoming close to the tzaddik. We know that the Torah refers to tzaddikim as salt. They represent the bond of salt that Hashem has on the world. We know that salt has a property. When you salt meat that has in it bad blood, the salt causes the treif blood to be released and removed from the meat. See here also, Rabbi Nachman Shmuel Zal says, by a person attaching himself to the tzaddik, who is this salt, it's like the person becoming salted, whereby nistakein hamidois haboim midamim tzameach, sheim atzvus v'taivois haboim midamim akurim. We know that these two items, depression and taivois rois, come from a spoilage in the blood of the person, a spiritual spoilage of the blood. So the tzaddik, who represents salt, the salt is misakein the bad blood. Just like when you want to kasher a piece of meat, you do it by salting it. If a person wants to kasher himself and remove any of the bad blood inside of him, the way to do it is by attaching himself to the salt, to the tzaddik, who is bris. The man tzaddik, man denotar bris, the Zohar HaKadosh says, and bris is also associated with salt, melach. It's a pasuk in the Torah, bris melach olam. Nimtzam of Urakan, she'ikar hatikin nasa yidei hiskarvus vahiskashrus, that the main tikkun of seeing the tzaddik revolves around becoming close to the tzaddik, hiskarvus and hiskashrus, attaching oneself to the tzaddik. Achakach, and after that, kishenoisein stoko la'anoshav hamekurovim eilov v'hoilchem midrochov, if a Jew is zoicha to give tztoko to those people that are attached to the tzaddik, and those people that follow in his path, his teachings, v'nikroin al shmoi zichron avrocha, and they are called by the name of the tzaddik, in other words, they're known to the world as being the followers of this tzaddik, just as the followers of a rabbi are known by the rabbi they follow, v'chein kishenoisein tztoko al kolin yonov zal, and so too when they give tztoko to support his teachings, meaning his sforim, the spreading of his sforim, and all of those items, the shuls that are built al shmoi, the yeshivos that are built al shmoi, nistaknu hamidos habuim michay medaber. That's how the person affects a tikkun for the midos rois that come from chay and medaber. Achar kach, afterwards, kishebo al kivroi hakodosh, when a person is zeichet to come to the tzion, to the grave of the tzaddik, umefarish kol liboy lifnei Hashem yisporach, and the person opens up his heart to Hashem, umarbe betfilos v'tachnunim v'viduyim, and the person pours out a lot of tfilos and tchinois and confessions. Umispali lefnei Hashem Yisborach sheyoreu haderech hanochin vayosher lefi sherish nishmosai, and the person begs Hashem that Hashem should show that person the proper path that's needed to be mesakein his neshama. That the person should be zeicha by following that path to a complete tshuva, v'lavoid oisle yisporach be'emes, and to serve Hashem with real sincerity, real truthfulness, v'sheyichaper lo al kol ma shepogam, and that Hashem should forgive him for anything and everything that he did wrong, b'frat b'schusoy shel atzadik hakodesh. And again, why is he doing it at the gravesite? Because he's saying to Hashem, with the zechus of the tzadik that's buried here, please forgive me for this and this and this. And he enumerates every single item that he can remember that he did wrong. Vo'imer haviduyim mitoich pnimius levovoi. And he says these confessions from the innermost recesses of his heart. Ad shehadiburim yoytze mitoich atzmoysov. Till the point that the words that were originally inscribed in his bones, the averos, now become released. Bebechinas kol atzmoisai toimarna. We know that the real shlemus in tefillah is where a person davens and he puts not just his mouth into it, but every part of his body. He concentrates, he focuses the nerves of every part of his body, from his toes to his nose to his ears. He focuses all of it in his tefillah. When he's saying a tefillah to Hashem, it's like he's rolling up his whole body into a tiny little ball, and all the energy from it is shooting out of his mouth. He includes, so therefore, now what happens is the bones that span the entire body of the person, the words that are coming out of this mouth are the bechina of kol atzmoisai toimarna, that the it's actually the release of the letters that are found on his bones. Hainu shehadiburim yoytze mitoch pnimiusei v'atzmoisai shel mitzvada. These words leave from the innermost recesses of this person. Again, he's not just talking lip service. It's words that are coming from his heart, and not just from his heart, but from every part of his body. He actually draws every iota of energy that's found in every bone in his body. He draws it into the tefillah. And he's doing all of this based on the teachings of that tzaddik. I'm doing this because this tzaddik taught me to do so. And he attaches himself firmly to that tzaddik. In other words, in his heart, he wants to become one with that tzaddik. And he wants the tzaddik to help him, that the tzaddik himself should complete all the tikkunim, everything that needs to be corrected in his neshama. Azai yamin bebirur. Then that person must believe 100%. Shebevadai nechrevu al yideze kol binyone hamalchus de sitrachra. That through his doing that, all the castles of the sitrachra, the whole malchus of tuma, becomes crushed and destroyed. Vahitzi mehem kol hatzirufim, and he draws out from the malchus of the sitrachra all of these tzirufim roim that were in their possession, that was symbolized by these letters being carved out on the bones. V'nivnu binyone hamalchus dikdusha, and this person actually builds binyonim of kedusha. V'oz memela yeda haderech hayosher lefonov levisheres nishmosai, and then this person will find that Hashem will shine into his mind, that the person will be zeich to come to a realization as to what his path in serving Hashem should be, exactly what's needed for the tikkun of his neshama. Sheze bechinas achriv horim ugevois. Rabbeinu on this chapter quoted a pasuk where the pasuk begins by Hashem saying, "I will destroy mountains and valleys." V'hoilacht remez al churban memshaltam, referring to the destruction of the rulership of the Satan. V'hoilachti ivrim baderech lo yedu, and I will lead those that were originally blind on a path that they never knew. Meaning, kemavur shamba maimra barbarchana. Meaning that that person who zeicha to be machriv these chorim and gvois, how through his vidui dvorim he smashes to smithereens these binyonim of the sotan, everything that was built up through his averos, all of these bones that were nifgam through his averos, he crushes them and he reorganizes them, he resets them into binyonim of kedusha. The result of that is that Hashem shines into him a knowledge, an understanding of what direction he's supposed to take in life. And certainly while the tzaddik was alive, while the tzaddik was physically alive, he could have told the person verbally exactly what his derech was. The achshav, but now that the tzaddik is no longer alive, tzorich lahamin, those his students must believe shekisheroitze beemes leilich b'derech hayosher, that if the person really wants to go on the right path, voise kol hatikunim anal b'shleimus, and the person follows all of these tikunim 100% to the T, oz ma shehashem yisporach sholeach lo b'machshavto eiz l'derech v'anhog l'avodas Hashem, whatever Hashem shines into that person's mind, a path for serving Hashem. The person must believe that for right now, this is my direction. This is what Hashem wants me to do. Once a person has carried out this advice properly of coming to Rabbeinu Zalcion and pouring out his heart for real, vidui dvorim the right way and all of this, then, and a person really wants with complete sincerity to come close to Hashem, then he has to believe that however things align themselves up for him, that's going to be the path that Hashem wants him to take. We'll hold it for here, at here right now. We have a small piece to continue, which we'll finish up in Mitzvah Hashem in the next year.